I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. I have all the equipment. I've had it for quite a while. From time to time, I get these ideas. For example, I had a great video idea. So, I bought all this equipment, lighting stuff, an amazing array, and then I forgot the idea. So the equipment's sitting in the closet waiting for the idea to circle back around, I guess. Ideas are interesting. I mean, they can lay dormant for the longest time. And it's almost like when the time is right, maybe they'll eke their way out. But they also can come and go. There's something about continuity and all that. I don't know exactly how much say we have in really maintaining the idea. There is this notion that energy flows where attention goes. But if your attention gets distracted, then I suppose there goes the energy as well. But finally, today, I decided to turn off the phone, turn off the internet, set everything up, got the room kind of cool, turned off the lights, closed the blinds, and here I am. This is my very first podcast. And what I wanted to launch off with is an idea that came to me from a guy named Buckminster Fuller. And the idea is this. He said, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. As a metaphysical student, I see a lot of things in play here, including the idea of trying to solve problems at the level of effect instead of trying to address the problem and elevate some sort of new idea to the forefront that solves the problem in the world of cause. Anyway, yesterday I was walking, thinking about all this, and it dawned on me that maybe what I should do is actually just kind of record my thoughts as I'm walking, because they are so brilliant. So that's what I did. I turned on the voice recorder, had my headset on, and walked the better part of 2 miles, and I got some great traffic noises out of it. And the sound of my feet on the gravel and on the street is just amazing, but all of the audio was completely lost. I think I got about 10 words out of it when I tried to play it back at home, which was kind of funny, because there was some brilliant stuff there. I mean, take my word for it. But I do remember a few points that kind of crossed my noggin as I was entertaining this idea of a new model. And one of the principal point to me was, okay, if you want a new model, then maybe you should think first about, well, okay, what's the existing model look like? And I have to stop here and say that all of the thinking I do, I see such parallels in between my ideas, my pursuit of ideas, my study of better thoughts and better ways to live and prosper. And I see the similarity extending and scaling in organizations. And it's always occurred to me, well, it has probably for 20 years occurred to me anyway, why don't organizations make use of this power that's available to them? I've never understood why they don't. Everybody's on their own. It's kind of like, I believe it was Jefferson that referred to the war of each against all. That's what the workplace seems like. And it's very, very rare to see a workplace where people are actually truly all pulling in the same direction around some sort of a axis mundi of organizational thought that everybody shares in. All of that to say that if you explore the realm of change management, in order to get an organization to a target, you have to find out where they're starting from. Sometimes, in the course of doing that, you discover that they're not even ready to begin the process of moving to the target. until they fix some of the things that are amiss in the existing world. Be that as it may, it occurred to me that I should look at my current model before I try to create a new model. And so I did that as I walked along. Most of my energy is in this regard is directed around the idea of my current work. And like everybody else, there are elements of my work that I just love, and there are elements that I don't think there are any elements that I hate, but which I'm fortunate in that regard. There are elements that I could do without. But by and large, I'm not unhappy with what I'm doing now. But the overarching interest that I have in this podcast number one initiative is this idea of a model and changing it. It's easy to imagine remodeling a house, something external. It's easy to imagine taking a technical process that's rife with elements of disk drive contention and business problems and redesigning that, recasting it in a completely new model. It would be easy to maybe imagine designing a new cover for a lawnmower, something, but those are all external things. And my question as I walked yesterday was, how do you do that internally? How do you make the distinctions within your own existence in such a way that, as we're told, they will manifest themselves outwardly, which I happen to believe is true? What's the critical path to make that happen? Which, that's really at the root of this initial podcast. So as I looked at the existing model, I've got some notes here that I made based on the 10 or 12 words that I recovered. I modeled my workday, which, you know, I get up at a certain time, I do certain things routinely every morning, hit the gym, come back home, and I'm generally at work around anywhere from 8 to 8:30, sometimes 9 at the outside. And then the actual workday starts, and I find that there are variances in that that are related to the degree of interest of the particular topic I may be engaged with. In other words, if I'm deeply engaged in something that requires focus, something that requires considerable thought, I like programming in that regard, and I like analysis in that regard, then I'm able to move very quickly, more or less into high gear, and I can stay in that spot for 9 to 10 hours easily. Toward the end of the day, I know I'm less effective than I was at the beginning, and around 5 or 6, I find that it's time to start shutting things down, but my thought processes may extend well into the evening, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's not like I don't feel tired from that. On the other hand, there are certain days when you're not engaged that way, when your tasks at hand may be something a little bit less elegant than or exotic than you would like to be spending your time on, but they're necessary, nonetheless. And the clock seems like it's got super glue on it or something, like it says duct tape or doesn't seem to move. And lunchtime takes 2.5 days, it feels like. In my whole working life, though, I recall something happening early on when I was in my late 20s, and a wiser person who I don't remember, at the moment anyway, advised me to look at work and take it in balance. In other words, there's going to be times when things are going to be heads down and you're going to be moving very fast and very focused. And then there's going to be other times when it won't be that way at all, and your energy is going to wax and wane. I'm glad I got that advice, and I believe that has held true, at least in my own experience. So I look at this where I am now, and it all, it seems to fit together with that earlier idea. Either way, in the course of that day, whether it's in the high-focused, high-energy mode or in the loosely focused, kind of scattered energy mode, I like work in either regard, and I'm glad I have the idea of balance. And the one thing that I do is I avail myself of the luxury of stepping away. I guess you could call that taking a break every once in a while. And I think that's important. So this is my current model that I'm talking about now. On the way to determining the future model. At the end of the day, to continue the current model, I'm able to spend some time. I enjoy cooking dinner. I can take a little bit of television. About an hour's worth has become my limit, really. And then this other creative urge kicks in. And with my musical background and with some Photoshop skills and elementary graphic skills anyway, those all seem to start beckoning me. And it's almost like, I want to say the other side of a coin, but it is the same creative drive that engages when I'm at work, except it's directed in a completely different way. So this makes me wonder sometimes, is this a splitting of energy, and is it taken in its entirety? Is it a good thing, or are there things that I should let go of, or maybe there are things that I should move towards, and other things I should move away from? Part of this is stemming from a book that I have begun to read. It's called The Power of Decision by a guy named Raymond Charles Barker. And it has, for me, some, I don't want to say alarming suggestions, but I'll say alarming, for me, anyway. The idea that it's time to take stock of yourself and maybe let go of things. Not maybe, actually. It's time to take stock of yourself and let go of things. In his words, say no to things that are no longer productive. Maybe I'm at a point in my life. Maybe we're all at a point in our lives. Maybe this is just another point in a lifespan where we assess ourselves. Maybe that's this whole idea. I think it happens from time to time. I know it happens in your 20s, but you're really not armed with enough information or experience for it to make a lot of sense. It happens for men in a serious way, I believe, beginning in their 40s, as they kind of assess themselves relative to the rest of the world, relative to the energy that they've expended and what lies ahead. And then in the 50s, it certainly comes back into play. So I think that there are times when you do these assessments, and perhaps that's really at the root of what I'm looking at right now, is one of those episodes. I don't think it's necessarily a months-long project to do this kind of evaluation of your as-is model. Everyone is different. If you're incarcerated, your as-is model is probably pretty easily derived, for instance. And in fact, everybody lives in a routine, so it shouldn't take months to deconstruct the way things are currently working. It probably takes longer to come through the gauntlet of how you got to where you are and reach the point where you're even ready to entertain the idea of a new model. It's kind of a shocking thought, actually. But this is a liberating thought as well. There's the idea that you created everything, which many times people discovering that find themselves at a low point in their life. And out of desperation, maybe they have begun to look for real answers. And that can be a convicting experience, but it's also a liberating experience in the sense that if you did create that, and there's no doubt that you did, And there's no one to blame but you. And especially, you can't blame any spiritual divinity or God or whatever you want to call it. We're put here fully loaded with this amazingly powerful thing called choice. Certainly, there are aspects of our upbringing that come into play, but there are certainly also points where our upbringing begins to fall away, kind of like a gantry falling away from a rocket launching. And you take responsibility for the course that you're on. And once you realize that, then this is very empowering, this idea that, yeah, I created this, and now I can't wait to see what else I can create. So with regard to my personal current model, there are a number of things that I'm just extremely grateful for. And there are a couple of things that I see clearly need to be changed. And I also see clearly that these things that I think need to be changed are the direct result of my own either inattention or participation, I suppose. Mostly, though, it's things that I don't pay attention to in my particular case. So having identified that, now I set about the process of designing the new model. The new model involves taking a stand. The new model involves, as Robert Schuller said, driving a stake, an iron stake, deep into frozen ground, establishing a point that's immovable and a goal, which all sounds terrific, but it leads me back to the basic idea. How do you do this internally in a way that's lasting, in a way that bears results, in a way that changes the way you think to the point where in your outward world, actually, some people may notice and say, man, what a difference. Not that you want that or that that is a point that you're aiming at, but it would certainly be a byproduct. You can read book after book after book after book after book. And from time to time, I'm guilty of that. The ideas actually are pretty fundamental. Putting the ideas in play is not so fundamental, depending on, again, back to your upbringing. And I focus on that only for the reason that in my personal experience, I find that there is an awful lot of thinking that is not mine. I don't know where it came from. But I'm at a point in my life where I can look back and see that I don't know where these ideas came from. Some of them are very hard to even identify because the ego does such a great job of keeping things in sort of a homeostatic state that it really is not your friend in any kind of endeavor like what we're talking about here. So even identifying the root cause of some things that you identify in your life as points to be bettered, even that process can be painful and it can be confusing. But again, we reach a point where it's time to say no to certain things. Because if we can't say no to certain things, then we keep saying yes to the same old things. And we keep seeing the same exact results. I don't have an answer to this. Not today. It's an ongoing process. Sorry if you waited this long to hear that. But it's discovery. I think most of the answer is in calmness, in meditation, in being in the moment, which seems to be the most sane environment in which I find myself. And the world is there to tell you that it's stupid to be in the moment. There are things to worry about. There are things to think about. Have you seen the news lately? And the world is also there to tell you that, it doesn't matter what those people say. The only thing that you know of is your five senses. But in fact, your five senses are just an echo. They're an echo of something that started within us. As Joseph Chilton Pierce said, you live your life from the inside out. Even vision, in his worldview, starts from the inside out. So having decided to take this step, now which step am I talking about? I'm talking about actually doing the podcast or actually altering my internal processes to build a new model. I know what I want. You know what you want. All the affirmations in the world are not going to make that happen. Affirmations can very easily become a way that your ego assuages this internal interest and desire that you have. The only way this thing works for you is to work through you. It involves action. You don't have to move the planet. You don't have to change the cosmos. But you do have to change your mind and keep it changed. More on this later. Thanks for listening. It's Phil Marnell with some thoughts and ideas.